flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's a Thursday, so time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. He's the host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious, Baldy. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We're still coming to terms with what we saw Sunday night. What are your thoughts on the Ravens' loss to the Bills?
Well, I mean, it starts really with the turnovers. You know, especially the first interception. You know, the interception here by Taylor Rapp, and you just wonder how in the 20th week of the season there's miscommunication between Lamar and Rashad Bateman. Lamar's throwing a go route, and Bateman's run the 7 cut, and the ball's intercepted. I just don't think that should happen, and I don't know who to assign the blame to, if there is blame, but that's a bad miscommunication. And then, look, Lamar takes a bad snap from Tyler Linderbaum, and he makes a bad play after the bad snap, and he puts the ball on the ground. And obviously, you know, the fumble by Andrews and the fumble, you know, two-point conversion. But, you know, there was the first two-point conversion. He had Isaiah Likely wide open, and the defender fell down, and the ball got tipped at the line by Matt Milano. So, you know, you just look at those plays, and you look at the other team in Buffalo, who didn't come close to turning the ball over. And so that was the difference in the game, the mistakes that the Ravens made versus the no mistakes that Buffalo made.
Baldy, James Cook carried the ball more times than Derrick Henry. The Ravens' run game was really slow to get going in the first half. And what I can't figure out, and some people have been with me, we've talked to this week, and others haven't, but if you would have told me that Buffalo is going to run blitz on first down, they're going to play a 4-3, and they're going to change their spots and play a lot more man than they normally do to try to sell out and take away Derrick Henry, I would have told you one of two things was going to happen. That the Ravens would say, we'll fight your fire with fire, and we're bringing in Jones 12, 15 times like we did the week before, the third 300-pound tackle, and we're going to take all our wide receivers off the field, and we're going to run Derrick Henry with the fullback and 6 offensive linemen on the field. Or we're going to run design runs for Lamar out of the pistol with option looks with Justice Hill and beat you to the outside and let him run crazy while your DBs and little guys who could tackle him have their back to the play. They called one play with 6 offensive linemen outside of a goal line situation the whole game. Derrick Henry took it 17 yards from midfield and could have taken it to the house. And they called no design runs for Lamar. Is that baffling to you?
Yes. It's baffling, and then it's, you know, it goes to much the way they got bounced last year by Kansas City. It looked like they adjusted in the second half or the third quarter. They took two drives right down the field. They ran the ball down their throats, and they looked committed to it. Then they got away from that. And so it does look like they're slow to adjust, Jason, and get away from the things that got them, you know, a six-game win streak and, you know, got them into the divisional round. And you thought that they would lean on what got them there, and they kind of went away from it. They had done that in the past. This year they went to Justice Hill instead of Derrick Henry in games against Cincinnati, and you know it didn't lead to losses against those teams, but you saw that change of strategy when they took Derrick Henry off the field, and the same thing happened on Sunday.
Baldy, now the question is, where does this team go from here? It should be a much different offseason in terms of not a mass exodus of guys like last year. Ronnie Stanley is a big free agent that they have, but what does Eric DaCosta need to add or do to take this team over the top?
Well, I mean, it'd be good to see Zay Flowers out there on the field.
Yeah.
You know, in the playoffs. You know, that hurt them. I mean, that's their go-to guy. He's been their go-to guy. I mean, even with the injuries, I mean, he still led all the receivers, you know, by, I don't know, like he led them by 30 catches, you know, the next close, and that's with missing some games. So, like, you know, that would help. I think Ronnie Stanley's important. He stayed healthy this year. He had a good season. Like, I would do that. But I would continue to develop players. I mean, you don't have to worry about losing your defensive coordinator or some assistant coaches this year. The young offensive lineman stepped up. Rosengarten looks like he's going to be a good player. Falele looks like they got the right side of their line fixed up. You know, I think that there's a lot of continuity that can take place. But, you know, it comes down – like these games, you look at all the losers in the divisional round. They all turn the ball over or play terrible on special teams. And when you do that, for whatever reason, whether it's the regular season or postseason, you generally lose games. And so I would say that that's the focal point, is playing error-free football when you get to this level right now.
We're talking with Brian Baldinger. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Okay, Baldy, let's look ahead now. Bills and Chiefs. Are the Chiefs going for a three-peat, or do the Bills win at Arrowhead?
Just the generic answer to me is you just can't bet against Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, mm-hmm. you know, at home in a championship game. Buffalo's 0-3 in the playoffs against them for a reason. The Chiefs have had their number. Now, what happened in the past years doesn't affect this year. It's a different Bills team. They don't turn the ball over the way they have in those playoff games. They've just gone four games in a row without an interception. Yet Josh Allen is still aggressive with the football. They've had success spying on Patrick Mahomes in the game they played this year. Will they use something similar to that this year? I mean, Mahomes did not run once in that Week 11 loss to Buffalo, 30-21. They did a good job of bottling him up. I would say that I would stick with that formula, especially on third downs in this game. And can Kansas City adjust if they do that? And so there's going to be a chess match being played for sure, but I like the Chiefs. I feel like everybody's on the field for them, offensively and defensively. They know who they are. They know the opponent. And I feel like they have everything it takes to defeat their opponent.
Baldy, I also feel like they're the healthier team. Like, you know, Milano's missing practice time again now. You know, Rapp, I don't think he's going to be able to go. And the deep coverage of their safeties. I mean, it seemed to me that Lamar was able to split their safeties a fair amount. And Mahomes has got to be licking his chops with Gray and Kelsey and Worthy and Hollywood and D-Hop and all these seemingly interchangeable pieces.
Well, you know, I went into that game saying, okay, it's going to be tough for Baltimore to get the ball deep down the field against Buffalo, who plays this zone where, you know, they don't really – but they got a lot of shots down the field against them. And so I do think that it's not impenetrable the way maybe we once thought. And that's, you know, for a long time, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, they were the safeties, and you couldn't do that. I don't think that's the case right now. So they've got the speed to get down the field. They've really got everything at their arsenal. They've got a possession receiver in D-Hop who generally doesn't drop passes. They've got a resurgent Travis Kelce. They've got speed in Hollywood and Xavier Worthy. And they got a guy with a golden arm that can get the ball anywhere on the field. So I feel like they have everything it takes right now to defeat this team.
Let's end with the earlier game, Baldy. Does Washington's magical season continue to New Orleans or end in Philadelphia?
No, I think it can. I think it can continue. I'm anxious because I don't know, and we don't know, the health of Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't affect how they play the game right now. Washington has, like, they just attacked last week against Detroit. And they picked up the blitz, and they had an answer to the blitz. And so they put up 36 points the last time they played the Eagles, and that's after turning the ball over five times. Now, I know Jalen went out of the game and Kenny Pickett came in. I understand all that. But still, like, they picked their zones apart, and they attacked him pretty good. And since then, Diami Brown has really come alive. He's had his two best games as a Commander. They've got answers to the test. And so I think it's going to be up to Philadelphia, because I don't think you could just rely on home run runs by Saquon Barkley. They happen when you can stay with the runs and you can keep pounding and you're not worried about the score so much. But if you fall behind and you got to throw it to catch up, is Jalen Hurts good enough right now and healthy enough to be able to do that? So I think Washington has a chance here. I'm taking Philadelphia because I think they're better in the trenches than the Commanders are, and that's where I think these games are won. But it's hard to go against what Jaden Daniels is doing and how well he's playing right now.
Baldy, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the football. We'll chat next week.
I look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And coming up next, we'll keep the football coming. Northern Exposure. We'll hear from Mike Tomlin, Zach Taylor, Kevin Stefanski. Steelers, Bengals, and Browns, their seasons have come to an end. What are the head coaches of those teams saying as they've entered the offseason? That's next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here on The Fan.
The very beginning stages of assessing what transpired and why. Certainly is disappointment in that, but there's also lessons and information within that. And so we're going through some procedural things that allow that information to come, to rise to the surface and to be hopefully utilized for the foundations of 2025.
So that's Mike Tomlin speaking at the end of year presser, talking about working on fixing their wrongs for next season. And before I ask you, Jason, about those wrongs, it is interesting. Russell Wilson was on the Pat McAfee show earlier this week. He seemed to imply that they're working on an extension with the Steelers.
Well,
so.
Look, Russ wants to be there. Like, he's comfortable there. Sierra's comfortable there. The kids are comfortable there. I think it's just his speed. And I think he's made a lot of money. And I think if he's there, it'll be at the Steelers' price. I don't think he wants to go to the market and have his agent running around the combine trying to see what's out there for him. However, like I told you guys last year when they signed him the first time, he's not going to be given anything. He's probably not going to play the whole season. And there's got to be another quarterback there to push him. And last year it was Justin Fields. I don't know that it's going to be Justin Fields this time around. But they've got to, like, if I were them, I would try to get Malik Willis out of Green Bay. Mm. I mean, you want they had the compliment yin and yang with Fields to Russ last year. I think LaFleur has got Willis to a point now where he's tapping into his potential, and he had vast physical potential. And they've got to add to that mix, but they're in a bind, man. There's nobody in the draft who's going to make sense to them in the first or second round where they're sitting. And like, I mean, Sam Darnold, I don't know. Like, I hear Sam Darnold's waiting for Matt Stafford to retire, and Sam Darnold's going to go with Sean McVay. That's what I hear.
Well, this is the issue of being stuck in the middle, where you almost have to go back with Russ because you're left with what? But what's the definition of insanity? If you're expecting to run it back and Russ is the starting quarterback, and Jason, you made the point heading into that wild card game where at this stage of your career with Russell Wilson, like, this isn't someone that can do it for 17 games.
Let alone 20 or whatever in the playoffs.
This is half a season at best. I think Malik Willis, I mean, it makes sense. There's upside.
I don't think the Packers would give him away. The Packers would give him away. But, like, if you keep throwing picks at them, I think they'll eventually say, we develop quarterbacks all the time. We got him for nothing on the trash heap from Tennessee. All right, fine. We got him for nothing, and we turn him into a third-round pick that can move up if he plays X number of games. Godspeed.
You can't just go into the season with Russ and some slappy at backup quarterback.
No.
Let's go to Cincinnati. Zach Taylor, obviously licking his wounds, talks about missing the playoffs despite great play from their stars.
Yeah, I think you look at every game and there's a play to be made in every single phase that we all regret, you know, whether it's a play call, a play, whatever it is, there's all things that we'll reflect back on and that are kind of a little bit of a thorn in your side for this season. But all we can do is improve it moving forward and making sure that a season like this doesn't happen again.
Offense was great. Their defense stunk. They fired Lou Anarumo in the offseason, right when the offseason started. They've hired Al Golden, the Notre Dame defensive coordinator, to be their defensive coordinator. What'd you think of that?
I think it's an interesting move. I think I'd rather have Lou Anarumo with some players. That's what I think. I don't know what the budget is for the old man. I mean, that's what I need to know. Like, and if I'm Al Golden, I'm not taking that job unless you're telling me, oh, so how many points am I getting for my offense? Like, are you keeping? You're going to extend the one receiver? Is the other one walking? How pissed off is the quarterback? What is my budget for free agency? We're going to draft nothing but defense, right? Like, yeah. Duke Tobin, you're drafting nothing but pass rushers and corners, right? Like, and I guess if they make you some of those assurances, but I mean, what are they doing with Trey Hendrickson?
That's the thing where the defense is obviously in disarray. But the big storyline for them this offseason is T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. They need to figure out those situations before they can get to the defense.
But if I'm the defensive coordinator, I don't want to be like,
oh, I'm with you.
Second fiddle, like, yeah. Oh, you're going to get around to eventually doing that. You'll figure out the offense 3 weeks into free agency, and then there's nothing left out there for me. And then we're trading Trey Hendrickson for draft picks, and now we got to hit all home runs in the draft if we're going to fix our defense? I don't know.
Let's go to Cleveland. Kevin Stefanski talking at the end of the year. And this little bit of Notre Dame theme here is they've hired Tommy Rees as their new OC. He was the Notre Dame offensive coordinator from 2020, 2022. Most recently, offensive coordinator in Alabama. And this past year, pass game specials in Cleveland. Stefanski talks about hiring Tommy Rees.
Okay, guys. Excited to announce Tommy Rees as our offensive coordinator. Tommy's a guy that we met a few years back, kept a relationship, watched him from afar as he had his success as a young coach. And then we were able to bring him in here last year, and last year spent with Tommy really solidified what I thought about him. You know, we had a process with some really impressive candidates for this job, some smart people that we really enjoyed getting to know, but ultimately felt that Tommy was the right fit for this football team. As far as play calling, which I know you guys are going to ask, I'm going to call plays, and I reserve the right to change my mind.
So that's
which he's done several times. Yeah. That has been a yo-yo.
So Tommy Rees replaces Ken Dorsey, who's fired after 1 year, Jason.
Who they let Dorsey call plays last year until they didn't.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they have no
Kevin Stefanski should call plays. Yeah. He can do both. He has done both. When this offense has looked good, he's generally had a pretty strong hand in it. I mean, I think, like, they're drafting a quarterback, right? Picking second?
Yeah.
I mean, I think quarterbacks are going 1-2. I do. Like, I
do. Do you think? Let me ask you this: will Deion try to keep Shador out of Cleveland?
I mean, depending, like, how it depends how the Browns play the game over the next few months. Like, it depends if they're showing prime the love and they're presenting plans and they're, you know, like, kissing the ring a little bit or not. I mean, it also might be a moot point. Like, Tennessee better be doing the same thing. I saw their new GM came out and was talking about all the available possibilities to them. I'm like, shut up. You need a quarterback. Like, shut up. Stop.
Yeah, Prisco's guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got the mayo man. Stop.
The mayo man.
Mayo man.
You know what they should do? They should try to trade for Malik Willis from,
yeah.
from Green Bay.
Be a novel thought.
That would be
novel thought.
Hey,
yeah.
How about that?
That would be funny.
Guy in Green Bay looks pretty good. Probably better than the guy you got. Hey.
Yeah, but they kept Rand Carthon, the GM who made that horrible move.
Yes.
And they fired Vrabel the year before.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the next
that's
year.
That's smart. Because Vrabel wanted a real quarter. He had the audacity to want a real quarterback and say, yeah, I don't think this Mayo who you drafted is any good.
Mayo. Mayo game day, be delicious.
And by Mayo, I mean Levis but yes. He'll forever be Mayo to me.
Yeah, that's Pete's guy. Hey, coming up next, I think this one might be a little ugly because we were definitely wrong about the playoff
game. We might
have
got shut out.
Ravens and Bills. It's bounce back, fall back next here on The Fan.
Looking back to the Ravens divisional round against the Bills, Lamar has 8 or fewer carries. Both you guys fell back. It was a bounce back. He had 6 carries. Lamar throws for 200 or more yards. He threw for 254. Jason, you bounced back. You said 206. Ken, you fell back.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry had 24 carries against the Bills in the first matchup. He goes over that total on Sunday. Both of you guys bounced back. Jason, you said 28 carries and 3 receptions. 16 carries.
He would have went over if not for the turnovers.
Yeah. Ravens hold Josh Allen under 238.5 yards. Both you guys fell back. Jason, you said 268. He threw for less than half that at 127. Ravens hold Josh Allen under 45.5 rushing yards. Both you guys fell back. Ken, you said 60. Jason, you said 77. He rushed for 20. Ravens hold Khalil Shakir under 62 yards. That was his total in the first game. He went over 67 yards. Both you guys fell back. Jason, you said 89 yards.
Oh.
Ravens force a turnover. They did not. Both you guys bounced back. Jason, you said a fumble recovery by Big Michael Pierce. Ravens get 3 or more sacks. They did not. Got 1 sack. Ken, you bounced back. You said 3. Jason, you fell back. You said 2. Game goes over the 51.5 point total. It did barely. Yep. Vegas is very good at its job. 52 points in that one, 27-25. Jason, you bounced back. You did have the correct total at 52. You said 28-24, close to the final score. And Ken, you fell back. Jason won, kind of going away. He won 4-1.
Yeah, begrudgingly. Nice. Yeah, that is. That's a trouncing, yeah. But, you know.
A trouncing.
But, bone, you know. Bone, 4 out of 5, 80%.
Yeah.
That's a trouncing.
Yeah.
But you barely wanted to say I won.
Well, how many questions? I think it was 11 or 12.
That's not the point. I'm playing GG. I'm not playing the field.
All right.
To this, even he would agree.
Congratulations.
4-1 in this game is not particularly close.
He got me.
It's like a soccer match.
Yeah.
4-1's a blowout.
My keeper was not as good as his.
By the way, Ben, you look, know.
Why do I do that?
Yeah. I do that every time. Yeah. I did it again.
Yeah, don't press the button. Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Beltway Ben, who can already hear me.
Yeah.
You're feeling
he
me. It's a blowout.
It's a blowout.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
You.
Know. Yeah. Whatever.
Another exactly.
Week. Once a week, though, Jason will talk off the air to Ben on the air.
Yes. At least once a week.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
To this week, looking at the conference championship games and using the odds on a sports book for some over-under totals. Let's start with the NFC championship game. Jaden Daniels' number on this particular book, Jason, for passing, set at 222.5. Jaden Daniels goes over that total.
I think they're going to play this not to lose, and they're going to let it all hang out. And I think running into those two D tackles like a brick wall with a bunch of running backs, who I know they got it going against Detroit a little bit, but they didn't for about 8 weeks before that.
Can I get a clarification? You think they're going to play to win, not to play not to lose. Playing not to lose implies that you're like not letting it all hang out. You said I think
they're going to play to win.
Yes, that's what I thought you meant.
Is that not what I said? I'm sorry.
You said they're going to play not to lose.
I'm sorry. They're going to play to win and not play not to lose, which means I think they're coming out throwing, and they're going to say, hey, Hurts, can you really play? We're going to find out because we want you to chase the game and not just hand the ball off. I think this kid's legs and this kid's arm are going to be electric. And Bone, I think he's going to throw for 237.
See, I thought you were going to say 269. But don't force it. Don't force it, Ken.
Don't worry, Bone. I'm not forcing anything for you. Don't worry. You don't have to worry. I tried that.
Yeah.
I tried it several times.
Yeah.
You ignored everything I said, so you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
Those days are over.
Now, I think Jaden Daniels is putting up some numbers. I will bounce back as well.
Jalen Hurts.
Of course.
Gee, oh, yeah. Man.
Wow. You know where that's going.
That's for the
break.
You know
the what
break.
I was thinking.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts, how healthy is he? Well, he does have a total here for passing, 181.5 yards passing. Ken, bounce back, fall back, he goes over that total.
No, I think that pass game is broken, though I am a little concerned about the Commanders' defense, but... No, I think the Eagles are going to try to win this game with Saquon Barkley. I think he falls back on this.
We'll get to him in a second.
Call me crazy. I'm not sure Jalen Hurts is getting through this game. That's a low, low number. They clearly don't really want to push the ball downfield. Here you go, Bone. 169.
There you go.
I relented. There, I was all talking, no action. I gave you exactly what you wanted 45 yes. seconds later.
You mentioned Saquon Barkley, Kent. His total, it still blows your mind. 129.5 yards rushing. 129.5 yards rushing is his total. Jason, he goes over that monster total.
This I saw this as like 134 in some shops. Maybe it's come down a little. It really is reliant on those explosives, and he gets them.
He gets them last time they played.
But it takes volume to get them. And if I'm going to play this all the way through, and I already think Daniels is going to get the best of crybaby Vic Fangio early, and Hurts is going to have to throw more than he likes. I just don't know he's going to be that good at it because I don't think he's that healthy. And that takes away from some of Saquon's volume. I'm going to say, Bone, 119.
It's fallback for those at home.
Which is still a big number.
I agree, but that's kind of a win for Washington. If Washington keeps him around there, they're probably feeling pretty good.
Yep.
I agree with everything Jason said. But I also agree that there will be an explosive. I agree they rely on explosives. There will be at least one explosive. I think he'll go over that. I'll say bounce back.
To some receiving props in that football game. Scary Terry. Terry McLaurin. 64.5 yards receiving. Ken, he goes over that total.
Couldn't have been five more yards, Jason.
Integrity.
Quinnian Mitchell's banged up. I like Scary Terry here. I'm going to bounce back.
Yeah, I. He's making everybody the star, which means you can't really focus too much on anyone. And this guy's got a knack for being the one who latches on to the double moves and the scramble drills. That's a really good secondary, but I got the kid throwing for 240. I'm going to say, Bone, he's got 88 receiving yards.
88 is a bounce back. And A.J. Brown... His total, 58.5 yards. Jason, over.
I'm going to say that Lattimore beats him up a little bit, and I don't think A.J. Brown's super healthy right now either, and I got concerns about the quarterback. But I'm going to say A.J. Brown has four catches for 59 yards.
What's the number again?
58.5.
Oh, so you're going over.
Yeah, barely.
That was a bounce back.
I'm going to fall back on this one. I just feel like... I don't love the Commanders' defense, but I think the Eagles' pass game is broken, so I'm going to fall back.
To the AFC Championship.
Ooh.
Patrick Mahomes, passing total, 254.5 yards passing. Ken, he goes over.
That's an interesting one.
Vegas is good at this.
Yeah. He's at home. It's the AFC title game. The run game ain't what it was a year ago. I'm going to bounce back on that one, Bum.
What is this number again?
254.5 passing. Mahomes.
That's a big number, but I have concerns about the Bills. I think the Bills are a little vulnerable here. And maybe this is one where Andy Reid doesn't worry about running the ball. Bone, I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes throws for 305 yards.
Oh, man. All right. To Josh Allen, his number, 228.5. He goes over that total, Jason.
Ding, 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 ding.
217.
That is a fallback. Ken?
Yeah, I think this is more of Josh Allen with his legs and James Cook.
Get to that.
I'm going to fall back as well.
Josh Allen, his over-under rushing is 48.5 yards, Ken.
I'm bouncing back on that one, but right. I think he's going to have at least one run of 25-plus yards.
One run of 25-plus. Jason.
I think he's got to activate. The last three times they've played, Spags has taken away any semblance of a deep ball, and he's forced him to run 8, 9, 10 times. I think he runs for 75 yards.
75 yards. James Cook, they've been leaning into him. Jason, his over under 54.5 yards rushing.
They've got a 3-guy attack. I don't think he's getting 17 carries in this game. Bone, I'm going to say he has 48 yards rushing.
48 fallback.
I like me some James Cook there, Bone. I'm going to bounce back on this one.
You're cooking the bone.
Let's cook.
And last one. I am not making this up. This is actually the over-under here. Travis Kelce's over 68.5 receiving yards. So he needs 69 or more. Ken.
69, Bone. this was the books hooked up the Bone on this one. I'm going over. He's coming off a monster game. I don't know if he's getting a hundy again, but I think he'll get over 68.5.
Bounce yeah, their safeties, again, give me pause here. He's got 14 straight playoff games with 71 yards receiving or more. Bone, I'm saying it's a big day for him and Taylor Swift and Caitlin Clark.
Oh,
and everybody up in the suite.
Good.
And I got 305 for Mahomie. So let's go 99er.
99 yards.
Right. Luft balloons.
Oh, very nice. Is that Nina?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is. All right, coming up next. If you Bone doesn't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. If you didn't get enough Bone there, guess what? There's more. T-Bone time, TMI with TIM. What you got?
Talk a lot since the presser yesterday about Mark Andrews, the future of the tight end position for the Ravens, because right now there is not a single tight end under contract in 2026 or beyond. Well, coming up next, we're going to get into another position group where there's not really a ton of certainty in the future. That's next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Talked yesterday during TMI about how this could be more of a internal type of offseason for the Ravens, taking care of their own and maybe bringing back, of course, some of their free agents, Patrick Ricard, Eric DaCosta. That seems like it's going to happen. But positions, you always look multiple years in advance. And tight end is the big one that sticks out, where Isaiah Likely, does he get a contract extension this offseason? He's eligible for the first time. Mark Andrews, he could end up getting dealt. I remember a year or two ago, we did a segment talking about the defensive line in particular.
Yes.
And how, man, there's not really much under contract beyond the upcoming year. And that's still somewhat, you have Nnamdi Matabike and Brody under contract in 2026 and beyond. But beyond that,
you
need some help. But that position, and Bobby D, who's been studying the defensive line for this draft class, has raved about him. So that would be a good opportunity
class
to build on that. But they've kind of been doing this for the past few years at this position. Edge. What is Owe entering his last year on the fifth-year option? He's set to make $13.2 million. Kyle Van Noy entering the last year of his deal. David Ajabo, whatever that is. Who knows if he even makes the roster. And then a couple of the young guys were Tavius Robinson, solid player.
Arrows up.
Adiza Isaac, he was a healthy scratch for much of his rookie year.
Seemed to have that lingering hammy.
Yeah.
They need to figure out this edge position and get a young guy that can be under contract. And always one of the questions where, what do you do there? And that is going to be an interesting negotiation for Eric DaCosta. How much is his worth? He's coming off that double-digit sack year, but we've talked a lot. He's not a dominant passer. He's a good player. He's absolutely a good player. But what is his value? Kyle Van Noy, he's going to be 34. We're talking long-term at this position. He's not in the long-term. Could they tack on a year or two? Sure. And Ajabo,
better do something.
Yeah, and Ajabo at this point, you can't expect anything there. We know that the Ravens don't spend top-tier money at this position. They haven't given a big-time contract to an edge rusher since Terrell Suggs. So is this the year where you take a swing with one of your premium picks at edge? Ravens have used a first or second round pick on just two edge or defensive linemen in general since 2018. Adafe Owe, the first round pick. Yeah. David Ajabo, second round pick. Those are the only two premium picks that they've used on that type of position. And you wonder if that's going to change this year because they need some long-term certainty at that group.
I got a name, Jason. I don't think you like him, though. Jack Sawyer, Ohio State. I like that kid. I think he's going to be late first round, second round kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Big motor.
Yes, they need to address defensive line early in this draft. They need to address it multiple times, both D tackle and edge. With all those picks, it would be silly not to. Elite pass rushers don't get to free agency, and they certainly don't get to free agency in anywhere close to their prime. I wouldn't be looking to do a deal with Owe because the sack number is going to put him in a I think Owe, you want to talk about guys who would like to leave for a comp pick. That's one where let somebody else pay him like a guy who's going to get you 12 sacks a year. Let somebody else do that. I'm already drafting his replacement now, especially with Ajabo not planning out as well. But again, at the end of the first round, it's tricky. And here's what they don't want to do. And maybe this is where their calculus will change. Because you have 11 picks. Because you have a really good roster. And if you do the right thing, extending some of these young guys early, is this a year they package some picks to move up, whether it's in the first round or the second round, to identify, in particular, a pass rusher? Because when the run on them starts, it gets picked through pretty quickly.
I think this year would make a ton of sense. And if you do trade Mark Andrews and you get another pick on top of that, it's just too many guys. Are 11, 12 rookies going to make this team next year?
Would they be willing to give Andrews his $4 million in March if they don't like what's out there for him then? But then, hey, you want Mark Andrews for $7 million? You want Mark Andrews next year for less than $500,000 a game? Does that make him, you include him in the draft? You know what I'm saying? You extend likely. You don't pay him. He's not going to love that. I mean, that's business. And then if you're willing to Silent Steve eats the four up front and you trade him for a $7 million paragraph five coming off a whatever 9 or 10 touchdown year, does that help? You know, the team you're moving up with, and I'm not talking about moving up half the first round, but can you get from the late 20s to the early 20s, and that team in the early 20s was close to making the playoffs, and they might want 1 year of Mark Andrews for 400, whatever that would be, I don't know, $380,000 a week. That's nothing.
And a guy who's been a great regular season player.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's going to be a lot of conversations this offseason, that's for damn sure.
There should be.
Coming up next, we love having conversations with our friend Lucy Burge. She's an IA Hall of Famer. She's from BetQL, and she joins us next here on The Fan.